We have a guest speaker today, one I've been trying to get here for 5 or 6 years, and it just didn't seem to work out. Tim May is with us today. He is our assistant district supervisor for the Northeast Atlantic District, from Maine all the way down to Virginia and all the way out to Ohio, so I think that's about right. And so Tim got started in ministry back in Frederick, Maryland, where he actually works now. He served in the church there from like the age of 10 all the way through, I guess. It says you started when you were 10, but anyway, he was the youth leader, he was a church administrator, he was a worship leader, he was assistant pastor. So like when they got him, they got a gold mine. You just got a preacher out of me, that's it. But he did a little bit of everything. In 2002, he actually started his own church over in Ranson, West Virginia, up on the panhandle of West Virginia. And his background's really church planting and, like, you know, raising leaders. And he's done a great job of it over the years. And so, like, he was pastoring there, I think, 13 years, right? And then he ended up leaving there to take a job with the district. And so he's the assistant district supervisor now. And so we went from being, like, pastors together to him being my boss. And I can't think of anyone better as a supervisor than Tim. Tim has been a huge blessing to me. He's encouraged me over the years. He's one of those guys you need in your life just to speak life into you at these real critical moments. And he's a huge blessing to me. He's a huge blessing to our church. And so today it's my pleasure to introduce to you Tim May. I also want to introduce Tim's family, and they're right back here, right in the center here. We have Susan, his wife. Susan, can you stand up, please? So everybody can see you. This is Susan May. And also Garrett to her left, or excuse me, to her right, my left. And Trent is on her left. So there they are. Thank you so much for being here today. It's a blessing to have you. Cool.
It is a blessing and a privilege to be with y'all. Steve and I have been friends for years, and I had said for years I would like to come. Just to be with good news, to see what God is doing here. I'd always hear about what he was doing through Steve and others. And so it is a real honor to be able to speak with you. Pastor Steve invited me to speak yesterday and address the graduates of your school of ministry, and that was an honor. I was pleased to do that. What a great, great day. If you weren't able to be here, it was a fantastic just celebration of what God has done through those, I think, 11 graduates from your school of ministry. So I do want to share some of God's word with you this morning. So would you pray with me? Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, we don't want to just hear what man has to say, what a man says, what I say. Lord, we want to hear your Holy Spirit speak to us. So we just open our hearts right now, as we have during worship, as we have throughout this whole morning. We open our hearts and say, speak to us now through the Word of God. Holy Spirit, give to us the very thing that we need to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn to 2 Chronicles? Old Testament, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 books or so into the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm going to share with you about a king. His name is Rehoboam, and I was telling Pastor Steve, I've never spoken on this king in my whole life, and I did two times in the last 2 days, because I shared something about this king also yesterday with your graduates, and the Lord just laid this in my heart this morning for you, Good News family in particular. And so, first time ever speaking about him, but there are good words, right? You go to church and hope you hear something encouraging, right? That's what we all do. Amen? I hope that's why you came. But then there are special times when you come to church and you go, man, that was just for me today. You ever walked out of church and said, that is exactly what I needed? I feel like this word, though I don't know you all well at all, I feel like there are some specific things that God wants to speak to you as a church this morning from this passage of Scripture. And so it's about King Rehoboam. He is the grandson of King David. So you have King David, then you have Solomon, then you have Solomon's son Rehoboam. And he's the king of the whole nation. He's kind of a foolish leader. He does very poorly. He makes a lot of bad decisions. And right off the bat, because of a bad decision he makes, the nation gets split. And so there's 10 tribes in the north part of Israel, and then 2 tribes in the bottom, and they become 2 different kingdoms. The northern one's called Israel. The southern one's called Judah. And so Rehoboam becomes the king of Judah, not of the entire nation of Israel like his dad and his granddad were. Look with me. Chapter 12, 2 Chronicles, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read you the first 8 verses this morning. Out of the English Standard Version of Scriptures, it says this. When the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord, and all Israel with him. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. And the people were without number who came with him from Egypt, Libyans, Shechem, and Ethiopians. And he took their fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. So just to give you a recap really quickly, the nation has been established, Rehoboam is the king, everything seems like it's going okay, but because they have not been faithful to God, and you see this throughout the scriptures again and again, when people become strong in God, there's a tendency to get comfortable and to drift. And that's what's happened to the nation. So they drifted away, and now this other king named Shishak from Egypt has come, and he is attacking Judah. And they've gotten all the way up, the enemies come all the way to Jerusalem, right up to the gates almost. Verse 5 says this, "Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and said to the princes of Judah who had gathered in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and he said to them," here's what he said, the prophet says this, "Thus says the Lord, you abandoned me, so I have abandoned you to the hand of Shishak. Then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, 'The Lord is righteous.' And when the Lord saw they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah," that's the prophet, "and he said, 'They humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be servants to him, and they shall know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries." So the nation of Egypt, under this leader named Shishak, attacks Rehoboam, attacks Jerusalem, they get all the way up, and right kind of at the 11th hour, at the very last minute, it seems like when you read the text, the prophet comes and speaks this word, and the king and the princes, they start repenting. They start humbling themselves before the Lord. They say, "The Lord is righteous," and the Lord responds and says, "I'm going to give them some deliverance. They're not going to be utterly wiped out. I'm not going to pour out my wrath on them, but instead, I'm going to give them some deliverance, some kind of a break I'm going to give to them. I'm going to keep the enemy at bay." I was telling Pastor Steve and several others, I have pastored for 13 years in the church that we started in West Virginia. And so when you pastor that much and you speak that much and you preach that much, you get in a rhythm where you just do it all the time. Like Pastor Steve speaks pretty much every week to you. Well, that was me for a long time, and now I don't speak ever. Like a couple times in months. So now I'm going to preach to anybody. So I go to the grocery store and I'm buying some milk and I just want to tell that lady, "You know, can you open your Bible for a second? I want to share with you." And she's, "No, I just want you to buy your groceries and get out of here. I'm wanting to preach to anybody." So when I look at these first 8 verses in this chapter, I see all kinds of stuff that I want to share with you. But I'm going to hold back. We're going to look at 2 more verses, and this is the thing that the Lord's given me for you, verses 9 and 10. Look with me at 9 and 10. It says this, "Shishak, king of Egypt, came against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the king's house. And he took away the treasure, I'm sorry, he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house." This is that king, this evil king from Egypt, Shishak. He comes and it says, he took away everything. Would you say those 4 words with me? He took away everything. One more time, and make sure the people at your table are doing this too, right? He took away everything. The reason I want you to see that is because that is always what the enemy wants to do. He always wants to take away everything. He doesn't do deals, even though that's in movies and books and stuff. That's not really how the enemy works. When the enemy comes against you, he always wants to take away. Very good. You're better in first service. They were really slow with that. That's good. Took away everything. He took away everything. And then it says this. It says, he also took away the shields of gold that Solomon had made. Verse 10, and King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guard. He took away everything. He took everything out of the king's house. He took everything out of the temple. He took away everything. And it says, interestingly, he says he took away everything and he took away the shields. Solomon had made 200 large shields and 300 smaller shields out of pure gold earlier, one generation before. And when Shishak comes in, he takes all of this. And Rehoboam's response to that is just to make some replacement shields out of bronze. If you read through the rest of the chapter, you see that this kind of this humility that the king had embraced where he said the Lord is righteous and the Lord didn't pour out his full wrath. He kind of gets into a place, and it even says that things kind of got stable within the nation. Everything was okay. Things were kind of good. But it says at the very end of the chapter, but that he did evil, Rehoboam did evil because he did not seek the Lord with his whole heart. It's called settling. It's a pattern when you see in this guy's life and other people in Scripture. It's just a, I'm going to kind of repent-ish. I'm going to kind of turn my heart back to the Lord, but not fully. I'm just going to kind of settle. I'm going to do about a halfway job. How many of you have ever told your children to do a chore, and instead of being like, sure, Dad, whatever you say, I can't wait to do chores, they said, okay. And then you go and see the work that they do when they do their chore. And sometimes, anybody here, raise your hand if you've ever seen your children do a halfway job. Really? We don't have that where I live. That's awesome. No, we have everybody's kids. Nobody's kid says, yes, Dad. They all say, sure. And they do a halfway job. They just settle. Kind of about, we would say, like, do about halfway. Kind of do it. This king kind of responds to the Lord. The armies of the enemy are marching against him. They're at the gate, and they kind of repent. Kind of get humble before God. They kind of return to the Lord. They want to avoid the judgment, but they're not really interested in pursuing God either. Rehoboam is half-hearted in his response. He settles. And by the extension, the people of Judah just settle. You see that when in the passage it says, the prophet says, that you have abandoned God and therefore God has abandoned you. Now think about it for a second. If you're a follower of Jesus, think about it for just a second. If you were told by a legitimate prophet, the Lord says to you, you've abandoned him and therefore he has abandoned you. If a legitimate prophet said that to you, how would you react? I mean, I hope all of us would be just hitting our knees, calling out to God, saying, God, I'll do anything to get right with you. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I mean, we'd pray like we'd never prayed before, probably, if we really heard that and believed it. And look what the king does. Look what the princes do. This prophet says that the nations are coming against you now. You're ready to be destroyed. It's because you haven't served God with your whole heart. And the king says, the Lord is righteous. The New Living Translation of that passage says this, the Lord is right in doing this. Do you kind of feel that? Does that feel like a deep repentance? Uh-uh. It's kind of an admission of guilt. It's like, yeah, you're right. It's like when you ever catch one of your kids doing something wrong and you get that kind of half-hearted repentance. It's not really repentance for doing wrong. It's more like repentance for being caught. I'm not really sorry I did what I did, but I sure am sorry that I have to pay the penalty. That's what it is. It's just, the Lord is righteous. Not God have mercy, like some of the other kings do in other places in the Scriptures. That isn't what we see here. Instead, it's just kind of a, eh. It's a good start towards repentance. The Lord is righteous, but it stops there. It's not a genuine, heartbroken, God have mercy on us and right us, fix us, intervene, rescue us. Either on Rehoboam's part or the nation's part. This settling thing that we see in this passage is most glaring in the section about the shields. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took away everything. He also took away the shields of gold that Solomon had made, and King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers. See it again? It wasn't when the shields are walking out of town, it's not Rehoboam ripping his clothes. You know, it talks about rending their garments. He's not ripping his garments and saying, God, have mercy on us. There's no righteous anger. This is the Lord's treasures out of the temple. He doesn't get mad about it. He has no passion to see them recovered. He doesn't earnestly pray. He doesn't call the nation to intercession. They don't call the prophet in and say, here, speak to God for us. We want to have restoration takes place. It's not there. There's just resignation. It's just kind of settling. The gold ones are gone, we'll make some bronze ones. These shields, there were 200 big ones and 300 little ones. And the big ones were 600 shekels, which I don't have any idea what a shekel is, so I looked it up. A shekel is about 2/5 of an ounce, meaning they're 240 ounces, these shields. It's about 15 pounds. So imagine a big old shield, I don't know the size, pure gold. I also don't know anything about commodities or what gold's worth. I don't have a lot of it, but I looked on my computer because I have Google, so I can be smart, and I found out that per ounce right now, you can buy gold for $1,172 per ounce. This shield think this size, 240 ounces, $281,000 per shield by today's money. Now think about that. That's $250,000 you're walking around 15 pounds worth in your hand. And Rehoboam watched 200 of them walk out of town. And 300 smaller shields. And his response was not to call upon the Lord, not to say, God, have mercy, restore these treasures, restore your people. It was to say, I think we got some bronze around here. Why don't we make some more shields? Now, bronze, I don't know much about that either, but I learned this, that bronze isn't something you can mine. It's rather a combination of metals. And just this past week, bronze was being traded for 33 cents an ounce, which means you could make the replacement shield for the gold shield. That bronze shield, you could make it for about $79.20. Get the picture. $281,000, over $250,000, or $79.20. Sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? For $79.20, buy a bronze shield. So he makes these bronze shields as this lame, knockoff, half-hearted, settling kind of a thing in place of the gold shields that were taken away. That's just sorry. And it's a whole lot less, settling for a whole lot less. And you remember, he's not a good king. He's not somebody that was making good decisions. So this isn't entirely surprising. He was prideful, he was compromising, and instead of believing and fighting and praying and contending for the restoration of the gold, he made some bronze. When I read stuff like this, and I'm sure you do too, you read stuff like that in Scripture, and you read about the nation of Israel and the stupid decisions that they make, it's very easy to just kind of cross your arms and shake your head and cluck your tongue. Why didn't they get it? Why didn't they do something different? Why didn't the king lead the people towards something more God-honoring? Prayer meeting, something, rally the troops, do something, but just to watch them leave and say, let's make some bronze shields. Why? Scripture doesn't give us the answer to that, but it makes me ask this question. What about you? What about me? How often do we do this stuff? How often, when we've been wounded and attacked and hurt and the enemy's at the gate, have we kind of repented, the Lord is righteous, kind of prayed, kind of moved towards God, but not really, didn't just rend our hearts, didn't just break our hearts for what was wrong in a situation and call out to God to do a miracle of restoration? How many times do I just kind of shake my head and say, well, it didn't work out like I thought. Let's make some gold bronze, there's some bronze shields, and just be settling there instead. How often do we do that? I think most of us, and I'm not just speaking to you good news, I think most believers have a very skewed picture of what it is that God wants to give them. Remember it said that the evil king, it says he took away what? Say it one more time. Stay with me. He took away. Everything. Right. So that's what the enemy wants to do. And I think that we a lot of times think, well, God certainly doesn't want me to have everything. There's something in us that just says, well, this is good enough. This kind of a walk with God, this kind of a relationship with Christ, this level of joy and peace and fruit and blessing in my life, it's good enough. I'm going to settle for this. And in just the same way that the enemy wants to take away everything, God wants to give His children everything. And I don't mean the fleshly things. This isn't a silly misuse of God's word to say that you can have whatever you want. But God's word says that in Christ we are giving everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so if His design is to give us everything that relates to life and godliness, we have no business ever making bronze shields to replace the gold ones that God wants us to have. Ever. It is, I say this to you kindly but forcefully, it is never God's will for you to settle and just make do with what you got. When I mean that, not making with your own hands that which God had originally made for your use. You're not supposed to make with bronze in your own hands what He has given in gold. Don't settle. Cry out. Believe. Pray. Get back in the fight. Contend for something better. I want to pray with you this morning. And I'd just like to ask you to for a moment right now not to think about anybody else. Because it's very, again, very easy for us to think, well, you know, man, this really is a good message. This is a good word for someone else. Because we see it in others, don't we? Do you see people? Raise your hand if you know somebody that's just settling for bronze instead of going for gold. Raise your hand if you know that. Yeah, it's real. It's somehow, it's always easier to see other people do it. But this is a word for you. It's a word for me. And I want you to think this morning, and I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, what is it that you want us to do? Where is it? Show us where it is that we have settled for making some bronze shields rather than crying out for you to restore the gold ones. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, the one who has given everything that we might have everything, we ask you to show us by your Holy Spirit, where have we settled? Where have we just kind of kicked the dust and kept our head down and said, well, I guess God doesn't have anything more. Lord, where have we gotten this messed up picture that while the enemy wants to take everything away, you only want to give us a little bit? Or that you expect us to make do with bronze? Lord, that's not what your heart is. That's not the heart of any good father for his children. Lord, you want to give us everything we need. And where we have been ripped off, where we have been hurt, where we have been wounded, Lord, I know that you want to fight for us and to restore that which the enemy has taken. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I ask that you would put within us an understanding of where we have settled and a holy fire, a passion, an eagerness, a willingness, Lord, to pursue you, to see gold restored. Lord, may we not be satisfied with the work of our own hands, but rather with the gifts that come from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for letting me share with you. God bless you.
You know, I didn't have an opportunity to get with Tim and talk with him about kind of where we come from as a church. And I think every church has a little different flavor to it. But I know that when you look at our church is a restoration church. And I know that when we're talking about people in general, we're all in the restoration process, no matter where we've been. But I can tell you, a lot of us came to this place hurting. A lot of us came to this place out of a lot of bad life decisions. And we came here and we said, you know, it's not working our way, so Lord, what do you want to do with my life? And so that's what brought us, a lot of us here. You know, a lot of the restoration that we needed was caused by bad decisions. There were times we let our guard down and we didn't honor God with our life. And so these things happened. And I can tell you that if for those of you who are in the restoration process or you've come out the other side, you understand that God put back everything. He wants to put back everything in your life that you ever lost. But so often in our lives, we have pain and we have hurt and we have things that are going on in our lives. And we're just satisfied with, Lord, just take the problem away and just let me have my peace again. And I tell you, God doesn't want to just do that in your life. He wants to pour out everything you lost too. This message is exactly where we are today, Tim. I mean, this is exactly where we are as a congregation that, you know, we don't have to settle for good enough. We don't have to settle for anything because God has the very best for you. Is that a word for anyone here this morning? Like where you're at? So I really want you to take this message seriously and let the Holy Spirit get this down deep in your heart, because the thing about this is we are going to be in restoration for the rest of our lives. There's always going to be this restoring process that God is going through in our lives, and we've got to be in a place where we say, you know what, God, I don't want to just get out of this thing and move on to the next issue of life. I actually want to come out of this thing, and I want you to do whatever you want to do in my life, and I want you to pour out through the power of your Holy Spirit everything that you have for me, and I will not settle anymore. Because when you just give God an open hand to do whatever he wants to do in your life, he will blow you away. I don't know how many people in this congregation have had this experience, but I can tell you, when you just let God do his thing and you let him pour out into your life and you say, you know what, I'm not going to put any limitations on what you do. I'm not even going to ask you for this little pittance of provision. I just want you to pour out everything that you have for me. And when we've done that, God over-delivers. Do you know that? I mean, every time he over-delivers. I mean, I can think of times where I've gone to him with things that have really been hurting my heart, things that I really needed, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what I need right now, but you know what I need. And I lay out and say, give it all to me. And he delivers in ways I never even thought about. You know what I mean? Because God's creativity is unreal, you know? I mean, he can over-deliver in ways you've never even imagined before. So that message about not settling, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people here who need to hear that, you know? A lot of people here that that God had set you up and your life was where you wanted it to be and you made some bad decisions and things went south on you. And not that south's bad, you know what I mean? But anyway, things went south on you. I don't know where that came from, but anyway. Things went north on you, Tim, you know what I mean? Yeah. But when things go south, sometimes we just say, Lord, I don't know how I got here, but just give me a little bit of it back. And the message for you today is that God's going to give you everything that you need, everything. Satan wants to take everything, but God wants to give you everything. But we've got to be open. We've got to have our hands out and say, Lord, pour it out. Pour it out. What I'd like to do is call the prayer team forward, if we could have the prayer team come up here right now. There are some of you today, as this message was given to you, it stirred you inside. It stirred some things up, and you said, you know what, this is an area I have settled in my life, but I want to go back and say, Lord, I know I asked you for a little, or I just settled for whatever I had, but I don't want to settle anymore in this particular area. I want to see what you can do in this area of my life. And if that's what you want to bring to the Lord today, I want to just invite you to come up and say, I want it all. Can we do that? So what I'd like to do is close in prayer today. We're going to leave the altar open, and if you would like prayer in this particular area of your life, please bring it up. We'd like to pray with you today. Father, I thank you for bringing Tim here today. I thank you for the message that you poured out through him. It is a timely message, Lord, a message from your Holy Spirit to your people. And Lord, I just thank you that you're beginning to stir us now to this mindset that we don't have to just accept whatever we got, that we don't have to take whatever's good enough, Lord, that we want to be in this place where we say, Lord, pour out everything that your Holy Spirit wants for us today because we want it all. Lord, take us to that new mindset. Lord, we love you and thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks to us every time we open the Word. Lord, that we can read these stories that oftentimes we've passed over and we didn't pick out the pieces that we really needed. Lord, we know that this is a message that you gave Tim and it's for us. So Lord, we receive it all today and we ask that your Holy Spirit continues to solidify this message in our lives so that as we go forward in life and as we continue to make mistakes and as we continue to be human, Lord, that we're able to rise above that and say, Lord, whatever mistake we've made, wherever we've let the enemy come in and take things, Lord, we ask that you restore it completely, above and beyond anything we ever had. Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing in this place. I pray your blessing over each and every family represented here today. Lord, I pray that you go with us in power and in strength today through the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The altar is open this morning if you'd like prayer.